Y'all can chat away. I'm good with that. You know, I actually, it's interesting because I was debating whether or not to pick that song as our transition song because it's like 5.5 minutes. But I'm like, you know, I've had it before where we've done a longer song and we just end up staring at each other for a few seconds. It's like, oh, hi, everyone. It's really awkward. The song's not done. But y'all were talking, so that's good. Keep that up. Speaking of things to talk about, yeah, I see my transition. Christmas Mansion's coming up this Saturday. Wow, that came fast. December 14th from 4 to 6 p.m. right here. Be here. $8 per house, $5 for cookies, and you get to visit with Santa. And our toys have started to arrive. Yes, we have. I told folks, I said, look, there's a monopoly on clues. See? No. Technically, the monopoly is on clues.
And there's clues on
I'm sorry, guys. I couldn't resist. All right, I guess I could have and I should have, but I didn't. So, all right, Christmas Mansion's Assembly. That is going to be right here as well. December 13th, 6 p.m. if you want to come in and help us get some houses constructed if you're good at construction. Or just squeezing icing, that'd be great. We'd love to have you here. We only have 97 to make. Only 97 to make. And we are going to get that done in record time, I'm sure, because we are experienced at this now, aren't we? We got some skills at this. So December 14th at 2 p.m., we got some other setup things to get done. We'll get the tables set up. We'll get the decorations finished. Well, the decorations are great, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll get the tables decorated, and we'll get the candy all put out and get everything set up and ready to go so that when people come in that door at 4 o'clock, they're ready to just start decorating. So I'm real excited about that. Aren't you?
Yeah.
That being said, we still need cookies. So if you will please bring your cookies, your plain Christmas cookies, so they could be shapes or anything like that, that'd be great. Sugar cookies would be wonderful. Just don't put anything on top so that the kids and the families have a chance to decorate the cookies for the cookies that we need. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing because not only do you get to give, which is the theme of the season, right, is giving, but also we get an opportunity to help raise some funds for the church and what we're doing in the community, getting ready for 2025. A lot of cool things are happening. A lot of cool things have kind of started on the down low. So I'm pretty excited about that. Christmas Eve. What are you guys doing Christmas Eve?
Taking a nap.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to be here at 7 p.m. for the Christmas Eve candlelight service. I'm actually very excited for this. This is one of my favorite things to do. I think, honestly, at my heart, like, half my heart is very traditional, half my heart is very untraditional, but this part is, like, super traditional time, and I'm going to tell the Christmas story, we're going to have a great time, it's going to be fun. So we'll come together Christmas Eve right here. So, yeah. Fine Arts is coming up in March, so teenagers or anyone sixth grade and above, if you're interested in fine arts, please let me know, and I will let you know what that's all about. It's a great scholarship opportunity that we have, and it's a great opportunity for you to get out there and express the gifts that God has given you, like drawing while your dad is talking, right? Right. Financial Peace University is coming up January 8th. I'm very excited about this because we as a family have gotten wonderful, wonderful freedom from debt and other such things and gotten more control of our finances. I've found this wonderful word this time of year. I've had to use it more often than not. There's this amazing word I've learned. No. Because Christmas, man, you can go nuts spending money on different stuff. And you're like, well, it's for the kids. No, the kids are fine. They can breathe and eat. They're good. Merry Christmas. That's all they get. Food and water. Bread and water, kids. That's what we got. Merry Christmas. All right, we're going to have a ham, too. But anyway, so you can make some ham sandwiches. All right, Distribution Day is going to be December 19th. And some of these gifts, the ones that are not given out while we are having Christmas Mansions, will end up in the free store. And so the idea is that parents who need some help with Christmas presents and things like that can come and get them. And of course, we'll have the food and the clothing and the cleaning supplies, which we all need as well, right? The Sloppy Joes are available. Don't listen to him. All right. Warriors at the Well will not be meeting tonight, but typically they do meet Sunday nights at 7 p.m. So if you are interested in learning more, please talk to Miss Marlena. She would love to tell you more about it. Divorce Care meets here on Monday nights at 6:30 p.m. And God has done some amazing things through that. Unexpected things. So God is working there. All right. If you don't have the Church Center app on your phone yet, why not? This is where you find out everything that's going on at Life 360 Church. And we would love to have you guys be on Church Center following along with everything we're doing. But hey, kiddos, guess what? Abigail's got you today. So be nice and enjoy yourselves. I was having this discussion with, who was I talking to? Oh, I was talking to my wife. And we were talking about my daughter. I won't mention which one. She wants to become a teacher. They both want to be teachers. A lot of that has influence because they're in school and that's what they see, I think. So they just haven't been exposed to a lot of things yet. Anyway, so one of my daughters is, I think she's going to turn out to be one of those teachers that you remember. You know what kind of teacher I'm talking about? You know which teachers you remember? So my daughter is amazing at what she does. She's amazing at giving lessons and things like that. But I just love the fact that when they're in kids' church, she makes sure that that the kids remember what they learned. Isn't that awesome? So my wife is amazing at that as well. I can't say enough about Leah. She's awesome, isn't she? Yeah. But my wife is homesick right now. And I don't normally do this, but I'm partial to my wife. So do you mind if we pray for her real quick? Lord God, I pray for my wife Leah right now. I pray that you will heal her body, help her fever to go down, and give her peace today. In your name, amen. All right. Well, we're going to collect up our tithes and offerings this morning. And so I just want to let you guys know there are a couple ways that you can give. You can give by, of course, dropping in the bucket, cash, check, savings bonds, gold bricks, gold coins, silver coins, half dollars, whole dollars, Sacagawea dollars. Anyone still have Sacagawea dollars sitting around? Yeah. So you could do that, or you can drop it in the box in the hallway there. We accept donations in the box in the hallway if you want to give anonymously. You can do that out there. Or if you're just stopping by the church and you just want to drop it off quick, or the bucket's already gone around and you're like, I missed the bucket, you can just drop it in there. So that too. And then there's a QR code up there which will take you to life360.org/giving and make sure you click on Conway so that the money comes to Conway and you can give online that way. That's the best way to do your card, by the way. How do I swipe my card on the offering bucket? It won't accept my chip. No, because it's plastic. Just plastic. So if you want to use your cards, that's the best way to do it. One of the things that I love to do, and this is an option that's on there, you don't have to do it, but I love to do it, is I like to do automatic. Some people don't like it because they're like, well, I'm not giving. And I'm like, oh, I'm giving. I see it every time it goes through. And I'm thankful for it. That's trust. I think that's like real trust sometimes. When you have that thing set up on automatic, and you're like, I got to be faithful to make sure that's in there. Right? So, yeah, I think that takes some effort too, you know? It takes a lot of effort to write a check nowadays compared to swiping a card. I mean, that's just so hard in the modern world. So, I'm actually still teaching my daughters how to write checks. So, that's good. All right. I think I talked about that long enough. We've collected up the offering. It's in the right place. Are you guys ready to get today started? We're getting ready for our next message. I bet you can't guess what today's message is on. Peace. All right, let's hear more about peace.
The night the angels came, announcing peace to those with whom God is pleased. They couldn't have broken the quiet land in a more unexpected way. Hosts of angels lighting up the sky, trumpeting the good news, shattering the silence with praise and glory to God. How else would a Messiah be announced? Except instead of riding the white horse dressed in royal robes, we found you on the outskirts of a crowded town. Given the last remnant of space, wrapped in a leftover cloth. And the least regarded citizens, lowly shepherds gathered under a dark sky, were charged with the glorious announcement of your birth. This is the peace that passes all understanding. The promise of a different kind of life offered was shalom, freely offered. To build bridges between our lives and your kingdom in the most extraordinary ways. Amen.
Amen. You know, I find it very, very interesting that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, God in flesh, would come down and be born as a baby. And not just any baby. The baby of a young mother, a young single mother, who did get married. To a family that couldn't get to Bethlehem fast enough to find an inn. Have you ever caught that before? Why was the town so full? Why didn't they have a place to stay? Do you remember what the Bible said? There was no room in the inn. It was full. Why was it full? They were late. Or they just didn't set the calendar to go early enough. God's mercy showed up despite Mary and Joseph being late. Interesting. And then when they got there, their dad, you know, Joseph, the dad, he's supposed to be taking care of his wife and, you know, soon to be born baby. Man, that guy can't find a place for them to sleep. Wow. What an irresponsible father. And then when they do find some place to sleep, because the innkeepers are being kind, it's in a barn. Have you ever been in a barn? Where the animals live? I've been in barns where the animals don't live anymore. I've been in barns where they do live. And guess what? I don't want to live in a barn that's full of animals. It's dusty. It's full of hay. It's full of what gets dropped in the hay. It stinks. Ladies, do you want to give birth in that location? No. You know, we don't read all of what Mary said to Joseph that night. I'm wondering what she said to him. I'm pretty sure the Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But man, being born in a stable, that's pretty fallen from the glory of God. But yet, Jesus is born. Despite all of that, the stink of the earth, the irresponsibilities, the lateness, the frustrations, the anger. Don't sugarcoat it. These were people too. Pregnant people. Guys, do you remember what your wives are like when they were 9 months pregnant? And you messed up? So we're going to talk about peace. Peace in the mess. Completely unexpected. Why is this poor family that's late? Why do they get to have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in their family? What did they deserve? I'll be honest, the only reason they were given the stable was because the innkeeper's wife had mercy on the pregnant woman. If she hadn't been pregnant, those folks would be sleeping on the street. And that was common. It was common for people to sleep on the street when they didn't have any room in the inn. But could you imagine having a baby there? In public. Thank you, Lord, that you had at least a roof over your head. Sometimes that's all we have, isn't it? We only have just the roof over our head sometimes. Hard to find peace in that. So this is also called the Jerusalem candle, along with the peace candle. So let's learn a little bit more about peace, shall we? We're going to be in Romans chapter 5 today, and we're going to cover the whole chapter. And then we're going to go from there. Are you guys ready? All right. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Jesus has brought us into the place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too. We can run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And his hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Just like his parents were utterly helpless, then Christ came at just the right time. Everything had to line up with that star. Did you realize that? God had completely engineered the cosmos to bring the wise men to that stable. Did you know that they left months before Jesus was born? Which means Jesus was always going to end up in that stable, being born there. Christ came just at the right time to get the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, to be greeted by the shepherds. Guess what? The shepherds followed the star too. Again, the cosmos. The universe had to be set up by God for this particular moment in this particular place. You know, the stinky place. The place that is not so fun to be in. I don't want you to miss this. God set up the universe so that the timing and place would be perfect for that stable and that time. And I guarantee you, Mary and Joseph were not having fun. And they weren't enjoying their moment. I mean, there's always this joy that comes when the baby is born. But the last time I had one of these things, I didn't see a whole lot of, like, smiles. Well, the baby was coming. Last time I checked, that hurts. All right. You ready to move on now? Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. Jesus died for the innkeeper, who wouldn't let them into the inn and have a private room where the baby could be born. Think about that. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God. Because of our Lord Jesus Christ, he made us friends with God. When Adam sinned, he entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given. Did you know that? Yeah, we have that in the Bible too. But it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. Huh. Still, everyone died. From the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not disobey an explicit commandment of God, as Adam did, now Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ who was yet to come. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift, for the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. For the sin of one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death throughout this and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because of one person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. You know what that verse reminds me of? It reminds me of the complaining second child. These rules never existed before. She never had to follow those rules. Yeah, but those rules exist because of her. Right? I'm not saying that happened in my family. But that's something we've heard of, right? So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Peace comes from who? The Lord God, right? So, peace comes from the Lord God. How? through the Holy Spirit. What's the process here? Okay, you believe in Jesus' sacrifice. Why would that bring peace? It just does. Yeah. Because you accept the grace and mercy. And why would that bring peace? Why would grace and mercy bring peace? Because it brings forgiveness. And there's no condemnation. And sin has no place. Okay, so if that's the case, believers in Christ, why don't we live in peace? Because we bring our own stuff up. Or we allow the thoughts that are in our heads, the temptations that go through our minds, to determine what our actions are going to be. We make those thoughts our own. Christ said that when you make your thoughts that are sinful your thoughts, those temptations in your mind, when you adopt those into your identity, you've sinned. Let me give you an example. Jesus said, "Is it not wrong to murder?" Right? It's wrong to murder. Anyone else, anyone in here want to disagree with that one? Okay, murder bad, we got that. But Jesus said, if you think about it, you might as well have just committed it. So let me get this straight, Jesus. Not only is there a law that says I am not allowed to kill someone, now I can't even think about killing them and I'm guilty? Come on, be honest, church. Have you ever thought of killing someone? Man, we're all guilty, aren't we? We're all sinners. We're broke. Dang it, we're done. All have sinned. Man, we're just messed up. We have no hope, do we? No, that was last week. Sorry. We do have hope, don't we? Why? Because Jesus showed up. And before that, we had hope that we were going to have an animal that we could sacrifice and cover our sins for that moment until we go sin again, and then we need more animals. But now we have Jesus, and his grace is installed. How many of you guys have ever installed a program on a computer? Like, I'm talking like a 90s computer, like back in the 80s, 90s, and you had like 10 disks that you had to use. Do you guys remember that at all? These young ones won't understand that. I remember my dad got like the newest version of Windows. I think it was like Windows XP or something. This is back in 2000. And that thing came in like a case of like 10 disks. Floppy disks. Do you know what a floppy disk is? Do you know the save symbol? That little square thing that looks like the save symbol? That's a floppy disk. I'll have to show it to you later. Apple did away with that. Can you believe it? They don't use that anymore. I know. Floppy disk. That's because they used to be floppy. And then later on, in the later 90s, they became hard plastic, but they weren't considered hard drives. They were still considered floppy disks. That's because inside was plastic and was magnetic, and that was floppy. The hard drives actually were hard, like metal discs that were inside, and that was the difference. I feel really nerdy right now. That was not in my notes. But here's the thing, is that peace comes from the Lord God because of the installation of grace. That's where I got my nerd from, is the word installation. And I'm gonna build on that. How's that sound? Since we all kind of know what that means. Poor Elizabeth. All right. So his grace is sufficient for us because Christ's sacrifice on the cross, which doesn't happen unless Christ is born, which doesn't happen unless the star is there to direct the wise men to a barn to give gifts, which were expensive, which enabled Joseph and Mary to start off their marriage not only with money, but it gave them the funds to escape to Egypt. Because what was happening? King Herod said, kill all the babies. Kill all the babies. Guess what? Have you ever moved broke? I mean, no money to spend. You just spent your wad to get to Bethlehem. You're going to have to work a few months in order to make the money to get yourself back to Galilee. I don't know about you, but there's times in life that come up and I'm like, I'm financially prepared for one emergency. But two or three? I'm going to tell you right now, if it came down to it and I knew Herod was coming, I'd get my kids out of there too. We may not eat, but we're leaving because we'll be alive. Because alive is better than dead. But you can't go far without money. Your car doesn't travel too far without gas. And if your bank account's tapped out, I mean, you just think about it. What have you ever wondered what they did with those gifts? They probably sold it. Well, one of the gifts was important because it was for the dedication of the child later on. So that's what that was for. But gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold. What's the value of gold? It's money. So they were able to buy themselves out of the city without the guards stopping them. I wonder if they had to bribe the guards. We never know that, do we? We may figure that one out when we get to heaven. But here's the thing. Do you understand how much had to happen in order for Jesus to make it to the cross? And not only that, he has to go through all of the prophecies about the Messiah in order to get there. We're talking astronomical things here, folks. Someone did a study on that once about what the chances were that Jesus is the Messiah. It's pretty definitive. I mean, the possibility is very, 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 very good. It's very much more likely than not. We have peace because of him. Not just because of his life and his death and resurrection, but everything that had to happen for him to even be in that stable. Luke 1:78-79 says this, because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide us to the path of peace. This is a prophecy spoken over Jesus. Sorry, I'm wrong. This is a prophecy spoken by John the Baptist's father, Zechariah. These are basically the first, these are some of the first words out of his mouth after John the Baptist is born. Did you know that? John the Baptist's dad was in the temple doing his job as a worker in the temple, and then God showed up. And said, well, an angel showed up and said, hey, you're going to have a kid. No, I'm not. All right, then you'll be quiet until you do have a kid because I don't want to hear you argue with me anymore. That's kind of how that discussion went, I imagine, if it was being held today. And so, yeah, he couldn't speak. And he used to have to write things and stuff like that. I mean, can you imagine? I'm thinking it's like, you know, 10 months that this is going on. Or 9 months, or however long it took, because, you know, maybe he had to stay at the temple for a while. He probably had a few medical things get checked out. Why is he not able to speak anymore? What's going on? All of that he must have had to go through before he went home and had relations with his wife, which produced John the Baptist. Life is real, people. Life is real. but he's born. And he writes, his name's going to be John, agreeing with mom, despite the fact that there's no one in his family named John. And then all of a sudden, he starts to praise and prophesy. And this is what he says. At the end of his prophecy, he says this: because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. Oh my gosh, there they are. Goosebumps. All right. Do you catch that? Once again, something's about amazing about to happen. And Mary and Joseph hadn't even left Galilee yet. The baby, Jesus, is in the womb. Jesus is described as the light from heaven about to break. It's like sunrise. Things are about to warm up. You're about to see things for the very first time. Peace is going to come through Jesus. Luke 2:14 says, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." This is speaking to the shepherds from heaven. And who gets peace? Those with whom God is pleased. These words are spoken by the angelic choir to the shepherds. Heaven itself is declaring that peace has come in Jesus. The redemption and installation of peace has begun. And it's achieved through Jesus. And who's it for? For those who love him, for those whom God is pleased with. How do you please God? Well, let's get there in a second. The peace is actually achieved by what? God's strength. He's got to be pretty strong to move around the cosmos and make everything happen, right? I mean, can you do that? Man, there's a lot of things that we think we can do. We just can't. So God is going to make this happen. And we know he's going to make it happen to the people he's pleased with. Let's go to Psalm 29. It says this: the Psalm of David, honor the Lord, you heavenly beings. Honor the Lord for his glory and strength. Honor the Lord for the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord echoes above the sea. The glory of God, the God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty sea. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord splits the mighty cedars. The Lord shatters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon's mountains skip like a calf. He makes Mountain Hermon leap like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with bolts of lightning. The voice of the Lord makes the barren wilderness quake. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists mighty oaks and strips the forest bare. In his temple, everyone shouts, "Glory!" The Lord rules over the floodwaters. The Lord reigns as king forever. The Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses them with peace. Peace is achieved because God moves the earth. Peace is achieved because he reforms the sky. He moves the waters. He tears apart the strong trees. He breaks down the buildings. He makes the mountains move. Church, are you catching this yet? Are you catching this yet? The Lord blesses with peace because he's going to move everything for his glory. Peace isn't earned by anything that we do. There's no matter how much you work, how much you fight, how many hours you put into it, how much hard work you put in, how much dedication you put into it, you will not have peace without God. It does not exist. There'll always be more. That's the story of our culture. Me, 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 I, want, now. I need more. Eventually, your room is full of toys and you can't clean them all up. I'm giving a kid example, but we do the same thing. Guys, God created, man, with God's help, created this wonderful thing called a calendar. And it lets us know how many days there are in a year. And it lets us know, and we can break that down even further into our schedule. We know how many hours there are in a day. And you can write down on a sheet of paper, I need to sleep 7 hours. So there's 7 hours of my day gone. How many hours do we have in a day? 24. So 24 minus 7, someone help me out here. Ah, gotcha. It is 17, isn't it?
I was right.
Yeah. So 17. So now we're down to 17 hours that we're awake. Guess what? You're going to spend 3 of those eating. Where are you at now? 14. Wow. My time's running out here. So I got 14 hours left in the day. Oh, you have to take care of yourself. So you're going to have to get dressed in the morning. You have to get ready for bed at night. Let's add, let's say you're quick about it and it takes you an hour. 13 hours. But now you have a job or you go to school and you're going to be there for 9 hours a day. I know it says 8 to 5. Have you ever counted that out? It's 9 hours because they give you an hour for lunch, even though most of y'all don't get it. So it's 9 hours. So where are we at now? 4. And then you got to drive to and from. So let's add another hour because it takes a half hour to get anywhere from around here, right? So now we're at 3 hours. You mean I have 3 hours of my day that's not already dedicated? Yep. How in the world do you think you're going to achieve peace in your life with only 3 hours a day? Well, I'll have peace on the weekend because I have more time. Oh, come on. You got chores, don't you? You have to get that house cleaned up. Can't tell you how many times I've heard the belly aching about it's the weekend, we're supposed to have time off. Well, you didn't do your chores during the week because you only had 3 hours and you spent it all on your phone. So now you get to do this stuff over the weekend. If you'd have dedicated, half an hour to doing your chores every day, wouldn't be such a problem. That's the parent in me, right? Looking at you. See, now you wish you'd done kids' church today. So, peace. Where do you add more time for what you want to do? Are you going to take it away from your sleep? That's what a lot of us do. Do you have peace when you don't rest? No. Do you have peace when you don't take a day off? No. See, these laws that exist in there, they didn't go away. The only laws that don't really work anymore are the ones that Jesus, by his sacrifice, eliminated. Which is forgiveness for sins. Everything else still applies, folks. That's why tithing exists. Still today, That's why Sabbath exists still today. Did you know that Jesus Christ is the original manufacturer of your body and he knows what it's supposed to do? And he even wrote an instruction manual. If you wonder whatever it is, it's in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Check it out. How in the world are you supposed to achieve peace in 3 hours? What is it that you're going to do that changes the entire course of your life so that it can conform to what you want because you think that getting what you want is going to give you peace? Maybe it's not about what you want. You ever think about that? Maybe it's not about what you want. Who gets the glory? Who gets the glory? The Lord. It's all about him. Guess what, guys? Blink. Real quick, blink. That's your life in eternity. That's your life compared to eternity. We are going to be in heaven a whole lot longer than we are here on earth. We're going to be up there forever. Do you get that? This life that we're living right now is a blink. Not even a blink. We used to say when you pass through a small town, we used to say, don't blink or you miss it. It's like that. People live in that town and live their whole lives in that town. They're defined by that town. People say that about us. I'm going to tell you, my life is here. My whole life is here. My family is here. My kids are here. My job is here. Everything about who I am is connected with this place. And yet I guarantee you there's people on 44 right now passing by, blinking as they go past exit 113. Not even giving it a second thought. This life is a blink. You have a whole lot longer of eternal life in heaven. So guess what you should probably be making this life about? God. It's what the rest of your time is going to be all about if you believe in Jesus. And if you make your life about him, the Lord gives his people strength. And he gives them peace. He's the creator of peace. But he only gives us that peace when we allow him to fight our battles. When we allow him to be the King of Peace, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the winner of the battle. 1 Corinthians 1:3-9 says this, May God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. I always thank my God for you and your gracious gifts he has given you. What gifts? Spiritual gifts. Now that you belong to Christ Jesus, through him, God has enriched your church in every way with all of your eloquent words and all your knowledge. This confirms that what I told you about Christ is true. Now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be free from all blame in the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. God will do this for he is faithful to do what he says, and he has invited you into partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. That is 1 Corinthians 1:3-9. 1 Corinthians 1:3-9. Church, grace and peace are given to us because we believe in Christ Jesus. We put our faith in him. And we show that we have the grace of God in us because we live out spiritual gifts. We speak in tongues. We serve. We teach. We're apostles. Some of us contribute to others. Not everyone has all the gifts, right? So some of us speaking in tongues or speaking in other languages, serving, teaching, being an apostle, contributing to others, exercising leadership, showing mercy, encouraging others, being single. Yes, that's a gift from God. Don't let it. I mean, I'm my wife is a gift from God too. Okay, but if you're single, there's a lot less you have to be responsible for. Yeah, so that could be considered a gift. That is a spiritual gift. Look it up. It's in the Bible. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous power, distinguishing between spirits, helping others, administration, woohoo, being a pastor, woohoo, speaking in public, woohoo, skill and knowledge in a craft or talent. I'm all over the Bible right now. I'm a lot of places. All right. These spiritual gifts, folks, they have purpose, don't they? One of them is actually for you to enjoy. Have you ever enjoyed your spiritual gift before? How many of you guys have a talent, like you enjoy doing something, or you have a skill at doing something? You like to play guitar, or you like to do crafts, or you like to lead people, or you like to give, or you like to serve. You enjoy it. Fishing is a talent, and it's a gift from God. Okay. Look, when we enjoy it, it builds up the church because we're built up. When was the last time you had fun? It's a lot easier for kids to have fun. When we're adults, we're like, life is getting me. God has given you the Holy Spirit. Gifts and talents and abilities. Go have fun. Go do what you're good at. I get to come up here and talk to a bunch of people while sitting on a stool. This is awesome. This is the best part of my week. Almost. They're there to build up the church and demonstrates God's grace in us. And they're meant to praise God. Gifts and talents can be used for bad things too. And that's a distortion. It's sin. But when these gifts are evident in us, when we exercise our gifts, that's when peace is shown through us. And when peace is shown through us, that's when we experience it. I want you to catch this. Peace isn't designed to sit in your heart and make you feel good. I don't know anything that God does that's designed to just sit there. Nothing. It's meant to go through you. Peace is meant to come into you from Him and out from you through the gifts of the Spirit. And when that happens, believers, is when we experience peace. You don't experience peace by doing nothing. You experience peace because you're doing the right things for the right reason and for the Lord. Do we get it right all the time? No. But that's why grace exists. That's why mercy exists. We have to strive to get it right. The gifts of the Spirit are a byproduct of our relationship with God. Peace is a byproduct of His righteousness, not ours. You remember Romans 5:1? It comes from God. So, are you striving to live in peace? Are you fighting for it? For your own peace, for your own self? That's not right. Are you trusting in the power of God to fight for you? Or are you working so hard to make things happen for yourself? Can you find peace in the storm that you're in? Because even though the world is crashing down around you, you know that Jesus is in you and He's got you. What did Jesus say when He got onto the boat? We just talked about this, remember? We just talked about the disciples on the boat, and they were supposed to go across the lake, and they went the wrong direction, and they end up in the wrong place. But what did Jesus say when He got on the boat? Do you remember? He got on the boat, and the storm stopped. He didn't say anything. He got on the boat, and the storm stopped, and He said, what was that? Exactly. Why do you still doubt? Who told them to go to the other side of the lake? Jesus. And if they had done what they were supposed to do, where would they have ended up? Where they were supposed to end up. It's only when we doubt God. It's only when we don't trust Him. It's only when we try to fight the wind and the waves ourselves that we end up at the wrong place. And then we end up having to get saved from there. I think a lot of times the bad things that happen in our life is simply just because we're not where we were supposed to be in the first place. We weren't doing what we were supposed to be doing in the first place. We didn't trust God. Maybe we don't have peace because we're 10 miles from peace. God, I messed up. I need peace today. And maybe He directs you, or maybe He just ends up giving you a new direction. Sometimes we have to let go of things that we enjoyed in the past because God's ready to move on. Even if we're not. I'm going to tell you something, though. Peace doesn't come from an orderly life. It doesn't come from an organized room or a perfect family. Peace does not come from a full bank account. There was a song back in the 90s about that. More money, more problems. Okay, maybe that's my generation. Don't look it up. It's a bad song. But the message is right. God is the one that makes us right. And if we are faithful to His righteousness, then we will be blessed with peace. His peace is not earned, and it's not forced. It can't be created by man, and it's only evident when believers live by the Spirit, through the Spirit. The world could not ever have expected peace to come at such a price. The life of Jesus. The price has been paid for peace. It's over. It's done. We just have to live in it. His death and resurrection and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is how God overcame all expectations and brought us peace. I want to end with this today. Could you stand with me? I'm going to read you a pretty amazing verse in the Bible. And it's from Numbers chapter 6, 24 to 26. And this is something that's said in a whole lot of traditional churches almost every week. And I'm actually going to be reading it to you from the Amplified Version because I want you to catch just about everything I can pitch at you from this verse, okay? And that's what the Amplified Version of the Bible is good at. It's telling you everything. If you'll bow your heads. Numbers 6, 24 to 26 says, "The Lord bless you and watch, guard, and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon and enlighten you and be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor to you. The Lord lift up his approving countenance upon you and give you peace, tranquility of heart, and life continually." Lord Jesus, we need the peace that only comes from you. We need your peace to work through us. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came to a gross, disgusting, smelly, awful stable to be born under some of the worst conditions imaginable, to live a life worthy of all praise and all glory. We thank you that you've died for us. Lord, if you can handle the problem of sin, God, you can handle any problem we have in our lives. If you can overcome the grave, you can overcome debt. If you can overcome sin, you can overcome our temptations. God, we must find peace in you. When we're looking for those things that make us happy, I pray, Lord God, that you would show us that what we really need is the things that bring us peace. Lord, work through our lives. Transform our lives. Change us. Find us where we are, God, and help lead us to where we need to go. God, I don't have to come back to where I was to be forgiven where I am. And I don't have to get cleaned up right for you to use me. That's not how you work. You work where we are, and you change us along the way. God, help us to see others the way you see them. Help us to have a passionate care for the people we come in contact with, to want them to know you. Change our words to express that. Change our conversations to be about you. Because, God, we've got a lot more time with you in heaven than we do here. Time's almost up. Time's almost up. You are coming soon. We don't know when. You're going to come like a thief in the night, God. We can predict all we want. But you came in a stable. And no one could have predicted that. Completely unexpected. And you showed up, God. Lord, I pray this week that you would show up in our lives in completely unexpected ways. That you would give us unexplainable times this week. And Lord, I pray that we would all have that unmerited favor and grace and peace today. In your name, amen. God bless. You guys have an amazing Sunday.